Thank you, Juan. And now I'd like to introduce our speaker for tonight, the incredible Fernando.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Fernando, and I am a grateful Al-Anon of the Worldwide Fellowship. I'm really happy to be here, and I want to thank them for waking me up off my nap, and and 7 o'clock, let's rock. That was not my first meeting. My first meeting was 7 o'clock, let's cry our eyes out. Because if you didn't know, we are the only fellowship that have boxes of tissue everywhere. Never within away from an arm's reach. Because there's a lot of pain in these rooms. I firmly believe that we are the people of the pain, because it is in our literature that watching someone slowly kill themselves is painful. I totally understand that. I lived through that, and I'm here to tell you what happened to me 23 years ago. I came in Al-Anon on May 11, 1993. I was in Northern California. I was living with an alcoholic. I had 6 months of working on her disease. And I gave it my all. After 6 months, I couldn't eat, I couldn't sleep, I couldn't work. I was out of my mind. And I have a lot of problem with God, even though I know I need a divine intervention in my life. As a matter of fact, on May 11, 1993, I could speak to God in 3 different languages. But me and God was not in very good speaking terms. I was really angry at God. I prayed to God night and day, and God was busy with the Middle East, busy with all your alcoholics. He said, Fernando, I'll get to yours in about 1.5 years. We got that waiting list going on. Now, I love God. I love my God to work like a microwave. 3 minutes, ding, popping hot, you know. Don't you? God is just slow, you know, for the modern age. And I did bring also my phone up here because there's a lot of young people, and I will text it to you while I am speaking. You guys are laughing. Good, good, good. Because that is the language of the heart. So 23 years ago, I couldn't reach God. I didn't want to get together with God. I went to a psychic instead. Psychic told me to come to Southern California. I was in a city called Santa Rosa, which is about 1 hour north of San Francisco. And I took a Greyhound bus trip, and it took 18 hours, and I was crying all 18 hours. And somehow when you are in that moment and in that, you know, pain, every song has different meaning. Really does. I was into Al-Anon anthems. If loving you is wrong, I do not want to be right. I catch a grenade for you, but you wouldn't do the same for me. I'm sick and tired of the same old love, same old love. And through a series of events, I end up in a candlelight meeting on Tuesday night. And earlier before the meeting, I was talking to Willie, who's been in Al-Anon, like Moses was his sponsor. That's how long he's been. So he happened to say, my first meeting was a candlelight meeting too. And I say, oh, Tuesday night? He said, no. All the Al-Anon meetings at the time were all candlelight meetings because we didn't have electricity then. we all love you, Willie. But I walk into that room that night. I listened to the readings and I heard the sharings. And I knew without a doubt that those people in that room that night have lived with the disease of alcoholism. And I know because I have lived with the disease of alcoholism. I could feel what they were sharing were the truth. They weren't really talking about literature, and I didn't hear any of that. I heard they spoke from their heart and how they were devastated by somebody else drinking. And that's really interesting. That embarked me on this journey, staying in Al-Anon. By the way, I went to a lot of men's meetings like this one. And I swear to God, the first men's meeting I went to, I heard something different. I heard that the first step was we were powerless over alcohol, that our wives had become unmanageable. I knew I was going to be a lifelong member. But the most interesting to me is this, is that it is about the pain, because I am so grateful tonight, 23 years later, that I have felt that severe pain, because I firmly believe that if I didn't feel that pain, I wouldn't be here tonight. I've seen so many people come into rooms like this, bought $67 worth of literature, and you never see them again. They think it's a home study program. And that's the only way we stay, because we know that without a doubt, that until and unless you know what this is all about, and this is all about is take the focus off the alcoholic and put it where we do have some power over our own lives. And then when they read that tradition, "For we shall forever remain non-professional." And I looked around, three blue-haired ladies were knitting. I say, "Oh yeah, for sure not professional around here." I thought it was a knitting club. You know, I was not impressed with Al-Anon, because that was not what I was looking for. What I was looking for 23 years ago was obedience school for alcoholics. Where you take your alcoholic there, and you know, 2 weeks later you teach them some tricks, you know. Then you bring them home and you go, "Sit, stay, and don't drink," you know. "And if you behave yourself, I'll take you out for a walk once in a while," you know. But about the pain, I knew where the pain was coming from. The pain come from loving her, and I can't stop loving her. Therefore, I knew I was doomed. And good meaning friends, guys in particular, will say, "We'll get you a new girlfriend, don't worry about her." And I look at them, I say, "I know you mean well, but you don't understand. You are telling me to develop instant amnesia while I am in the midst of an obsession." Not gonna happen. But the most interesting about Al-Anon was this. I fall in love with Al-Anon because I discovered this really quick. By now you kind of figure out I'm kind of a smart guy, right? All you have to do is show up in the Al-Anon meeting, raise your hand, and people are obligated to listen to you for 3 to 5 minutes. And you can do it literally 3 times a day. And I was on a mission because I want to make sure that nobody in Southern California is going to date that alcoholic woman ever again, you know. I literally have a poster of her, you know, "Don't date her, your life will be ruined," you know. And I thought I was going to heal just on telling you about the horrible, horrible person in my life that ruined my life, but then I didn't know that spiritual arithmetic you got here. And I'll tell you, because many of you got a couple of newcomers here, they don't know. I speak to 3 to 5 minutes about my problem. Guess what? I sit around and listen to you for an hour. It's, you know, I wasn't that smart then, you know. And I sincerely believe that it is sitting there for an hour, listening to you go on and on and on about your alcoholic, that I was able to see a little bit of myself. And what I saw was not pretty. It horrifies me when I finally saw myself. And our literature describe it. We have four adjectives in our literature, understanding ourselves. That is about you and me. That I don't believe describe a person, wonderful person like me. Smug, self-righteous, dominating. Who the hell are you talking about? It ain't me. I'm industrial, hardworking, loving, kind. Where do they get that from? But when we look at it, we're really honest with it, we begin to drop the magnifying glass and pick up the mirror. Ooh. Wow. I got a lot of work to do. When I first came into Al-Anon, I really see myself pure snow white like an iceberg. You know, if you go down on an Alaskan cruise, you know, I know many of you are rich enough to, because La Cañada, right? You know, all of you have been out there, you know. And you go on this cruise, you get on the deck and you see the iceberg, you know. You whip out your digital camera and you start taking pictures because it's so majestic, white, pure. I thought it was me. And that's when I realized that I do have defects of characters, but all my defects of characters are below the water. And if you get close enough, I can sink a Titanic. And I begin to see myself that I was so close to perfection that I was impossible to live with. We are the baffling sort in the family. Everybody understand what's wrong with the other person, what's wrong with you? And I knew without a doubt that I was affected. Now, by now, I want to get something straight. I was introduced as Fernando. I'm from Northern California, Southern California. I speak with a funny accent. And I will say this, you're not even sure that I'm from Mexico, you know, but I am not. I'm actually from China. And I'm not saying that just to get a laugh. I am seriously, really from China. I speak three different Chinese dialects. I read, write Chinese. I was born in a place called Macau, which today is the gambling capital of the world. And you guys are all so wonderful about Las Vegas. Las Vegas is number three because 2 years ago, Singapore legalized gambling and they shot up to number two. So if you America wants to be number one, you guys better start gambling. But in this little place, 2.2 miles, which 50 years ago was a small Portuguese colony where 97% of the population were Chinese and the 3%, the ruling party, were Portuguese, and I felt different. This I know for a fact, that my mother dropped me off the steps of a convent when I was about 6 months old and gave me up for adoption. You see, I grew up where people, little kids, will come and point a finger at me and says, what a horrible person my mother was, because I am not pure anything. As a matter of fact, my father, I believe, is 50% Portuguese, and I'm 50% Chinese, so he's Portuguese, my mother's Chinese, and I always felt like a giraffe in a herd of horses. I run like a horse, I look like a horse, but I ain't a horse because my neck stick out way too up there. I ain't a horse. And I was angry at God even then. What kind of a God would mess me up like this? How hard is it for God to go look for two Chinese people or two Portuguese people and say, go at it, you know, like. I mean, it's not like I could pick my own parents, you know, like Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie, you know, like. Why did he do that? So I was angry at God. And then I was raised in the religion where very quickly as a young boy, not only you don't have to do it, if you think about it, you are going to hell, you know. And if you make some mistake, you got to go, you can't speak to God directly. This is my understanding as a poor young boy, you know, so I'm not trying to down anybody's religion. I'm just telling you why I am so messed up. So you can't talk to God directly. If you mess up, you got to go get these people. They have a name for them. They call them saints. To me, they act just like lawyers. They all have specialties. If you, whatever your problem, you got to find the right saints, the right lawyer. And they come up to a podium like this. They say, Your Honor, God, my client, Fernando. And if you really need the big gun, you got to get mom, you know. So that was it, you know. And other than being poor, I would tell you I have a pretty good childhood. But for God's sake, it was in China. Everybody was poor. Our local 99 cent store have a layaway program. That's how poor we were. Now, if you don't understand the religion, I will tell you, it's very simple. Go down to the local 99 cent store again and look at the candle section. You get a good education, okay? So I wander around in China until I was about 14 years old. And one day, one of these priest people, Jesuit, says, Fernando, would you like to go to America? It seems like a couple in Long Beach look at a bunch of pictures and they saw you and they say, yeah, that's our child and we want to take you to America. Yeah, it seems like I fit the family album because he was American and she was Chinese and I fit right in, you know, photo day. They didn't have to explain, like, where did he come from suddenly, right? You know, they say, oh yeah, he's our child, you know? So I showed up in, you know, like when I never left Macau, China, never left there. 14 years old, and they say, you're going to Long Beach, California? And I, in my mind, you know, it's like, oh yeah, the Beach Boys, Hollywood, oh, Long Beach. Don't it sound like there's a beach at this place where, you know, it's like from here to eternity, Long Beach. David Knox is laughing because Long Beach don't have a beach. Long Beach have a shipyard. You know, what kind of phony advertising do you have here, you know? So, anyway, but what I didn't know then that I know today, that this home was a severe, abusive, frightening, violent, you know, crazy alcoholic home. I remember clearly tonight as it was yesterday, that when I was 16, my father, would pass out drunk right on the front lawn of this beautiful neighborhood called Bixby Knoll. And my mother was, you know, not even close to Al-Anon. I don't know what she was. She would call the paramedics, call the fire department. They're all out there. All the neighbors were out there. And our huge German Shepherd would run up to my father's face and lick his face to try to wake him up. And I knew I would never be like him. I hated those people. What kind of a God would drop me off in a home like this? I mean, it was bad enough. I was China, I was poor, I was mixed race, and now this is even worse. So I was an angry person. The life that I was living was not the life that I envisioned. And so I went through a whole series of life, and I didn't know why I developed this idea that somehow, if I can help you, I can love you. And the more you suffer, the more you show you really care. I don't know where that came from. Because these two people, when I was in that crazy home, would fight with knives and it's like a kung fu movie long before they came out, you know? And then in the morning, there would be a hole in the wall and we were eating cereal and they say, would you like some more milk, you know? Crazy, I have never lived in a place like this. So I didn't know anything about alcoholism until I hooked up with this alcoholic and she was exciting. She came home one night at 2 a.m. and said, let's go to Las Vegas. And I go, you know, quit my job, we went to Las Vegas, you know. We went to meet Elvis. I love an alcoholic. They have the excitement. Oh, They make my heart go bum, ba bum, ba bum, ba bum, ba bum. Until it wasn't the drinking that really bothered me, it was that they didn't mind me. When they get into that late stage of alcoholism, they don't care about anybody. And I try so hard to be the loving, kind, understanding, all of that, and it didn't work, and I worked, and I tried, and I was so disappointed at me, because I don't know about what kind of Al-Anons we have here, but I'm the kind that can Google to the end of the world and find the answer, you know? And I was trying to find the answer, the fixer, the fixer, the fixer. And until I come into Al-Anon, I realized that Al-Anon, you have to have somebody that brought you into the meeting. It is in our tradition. Tradition 3 says that we do have one simple requirement, that there be a friend or an alcoholic relative. So you have to be here because somebody has behavior that bothers you. And it bothers the heck out of me, because I'm old enough to tell you that in the 70s, they have this salon called Vidal Sassoon, and his catchphrase was, "If you don't look good, we don't look good." And I was telling the alcoholic, "You're making me looking really bad right now." Oh my God, I was, insufferable. I was not a very nice person. I was trying to have a person rid of their alcoholism through punishment. God, that don't make me a very nice person. So I began to really, really look at myself. Begin to understand that first and foremost, I got to deal with the pain. Because today, I will honestly tell you that my pain has become my instructions to change. Because I embrace my pain. It is the pain that will tell me that something ain't right and I got to change. And that lies the second question that when you are new in Al-Anon, it's like, why? Why do I have to do all this thing? Why do I have to go to 10,000 meetings? Why do I have to sponsor 10,000 people? Why? The alcoholic have all the fun. They seem to be laughing over there. They don't have to pay bills. They don't have to work, Yeah. They go to noon meeting, Where the who's who of unemployment, are they all there, Why? Drove me crazy. I came up with this idea. It is literally in our first step. Life has become unmanageable. I don't know what unmanageable means, but I know what unhappy means. That my life has become, for me, very, very unhappy. If I want to be happy, I must do something. What do I do? How do I do it? So I took a little bit of a film class in my early days, because it's Hollywood, right? And I realized that directors always look at the world this way. Everything within this is what the camera sees. So they always go like this. And if I stay here, my view, even though I turn around, change a little bit, is still exactly the same. But if I do this, my view changes. Does not require you to move a single inch. You are exactly where you are, but my life, my view has changed. And if I don't like this view, guess what? Wow, you guys look so much better. So if I want to change the viewpoint in my life, if I want to change my emotions, if I want to change my outlook, I have to take the action. And when I'm willing and able to take the actions in my life, I reap the benefits. I reap the benefits. So I begin to have these ideas. I got a lot of funny ideas, but funny ideas help me, because that's how my mind is crazy in a lot of ways. But so the one way I look at it is that many of us in Al-Anon think like, you know, because I'm from China, in China, we use a lot of rice. We eat a lot of rice. Right? No surprise. You all know that, right? But rice in this raw form, it's not much use. It's hard, it's brittle, except for weddings and feeding the chicken. You don't eat raw rice. But through a process of steam, this raw rice now become fluffy, become white, become nourishment of the soul. And this is the same rice, but through a process, wow, it's become this same but different. You are softer, you are more loving, you are kinder. And so if you think Al-Anon is steam rice, right? Alcoholics are combo fried rice. So we are seeing the rice family, right? You know? So part of that is that we go through the steps. And like I said earlier, I have a lot of problem with the concept of God. And I told the sponsor, you know, I have a problem with God. And he says, we're working the second step. Don't have to worry about it. I know what you mean by the second step, a power greater than ourselves. You're just masquerading. The stuff is talking about God. I say, but it doesn't say God, because God, G-O-D, will show up on the third step. If you want G-O-D, we'll put it on the second step, but it ain't in the second step. Go read about it, pray about it, and come up with something. Took me a long time. But I really believe that I have the answer for myself, because I've discovered what a power greater than myself today is. I took algebra in high school, and in algebra, a power greater than X is equal to X plus 1. A power greater than Fernando is Fernando plus 1. Me and this other guy, together, we became a power greater than myself alone. So I am connected with somebody else. I now join the human race. I'm no longer alone. And when I feel no longer alone, that's when I have this idea that my God really, really loved me. For the longest time, I really believed this, that that's not really because of these people. Maybe God kind of knew what he was doing, because, you know, my real parents, I never even met them. You know, I don't even know who they are. They probably loved me, but they dropped me off a convent. They gave me up for adoption. These nuns and these priests, they told me they loved me, but they pawned me off to this couple in Long Beach. This couple in Long Beach, they probably loved me, but they were crazy. And anyway, maybe it is true. The common denominator is all these three different groups. It's me. Maybe it is me. Maybe there's something so wrong inside of me that you cannot love me. That I am unlovable. And that's where the pain come from, was that deep down I believe in that lie. And I truly believe if you are in 12-step program, it is not so much the lies that other people tell about you that hurts you, it's the lie that you tell about yourself that really, really hurt you. And that was my biggest lie. And today I know that my God loves me. Loves me without a doubt, because brought me into a room like this, where this is the largest family in the world for a person that was born as an orphan. Because in this room we have all different first name, but we all have the same last name, Al-Anon. We have Andy Al-Anon, Fernando Al-Anon, we have Roger Al-Anon. We have different first name, but we all have the same last name. And I also know for a person that believed that he is unlovable, he dropped me off in a room like this where there's about 80 people tonight, and each and every one of you have that magical ability to love a newcomer. We know how to love, and I was loved. And that's how I got healed. That's where my healing was. This wasn't because of my own making. It is because the people in the room, they didn't care about my feelings. They didn't care about, you know, my actions. They didn't care about my thoughts. They just wanted to love me without conditions. And they break through this wall inside here that I have built up to protect myself. And they smash through it. And they touch this. And I am forever touched by the people in Al-Anon. That's why I am here tonight. I thought that Al-Anon works is because many of you are very smart, many of you can recite passages, many of you can recite books, many of you are therapeutic, whatever. But I believe this is that in Al-Anon, we give each other our most precious possession. Our most precious possession that we give each other is our time, because we all have very limited time. If I die tonight, my tombstone will say 1955-2016. That little dash, that's my whole life. I come here, spend an hour with you. I have given you an hour of my life that I will never get back. And when you freely, willingly give another person an hour, a second, a minute, a day of your life, that person knows you care genuinely. And that person's resistance to heal will fall. And we begin to see what love is all about. Because there is a special connection in here. It's also in our literature. The reason we feel so much pain is because we care. There's at least 1,000 people right here, right now, drinking in downtown Los Angeles. And we would lovingly drop money in a basket, pass it around. We help those people. But we don't feel the same way if there be one alcoholic in our lives that are not doing so well. We become like a security guard in Las Vegas casino with 8 monitors. Alcoholic here, alcoholic there, alcoholic. We have a full-time job watching the monitor of alcoholics. Crazy. Crazy. This is who we are. And unless we see who we are not gonna heal. I came into Al-Anon, I saw myself as a car, properly, correctly parked outside my house, and in the middle of the night, I heard a screeching noise, and I heard a big bang, and I knew instinctively it was my car that was damaged. I came into Al-Anon, I knew that I was damaged by alcoholism. I ran out of the house, saw my car, and I saw this big black thing screeching away, and I just go, oh my God, my car, my car, my car. I came into Al-Anon, I'm the victim, I'm the victim, I'm the victim. But it is staying in Al-Anon that I begin to learn about alcoholism. When I went out there and I begin to examine the scene of the damage of my car, I begin to learn about alcoholism. I noticed that the height of the damage was about this high. I knew it was an SUV. I saw blue paint on my car. I knew that the car that hit me was a blue car. I saw the glass on the floor that was tinted. I knew it was a tinted car. I sit in these rooms and listen to you share about your life story, and I begin to see the alcoholism that happened to affect me so deeply in my own life. But that is not it. What I did for a long time was to find anybody that's willing to listen and tell them about my car. Some idiot, can you believe hit my car? Some idiot, can you believe hit my car? Some idiot, can you believe they hit my car? And they said, wow, you're so passionate about your car. How long has it been? I said, about 20 years. How long have you been away from your alcoholic? Oh, 20 years. And that's on me. That's when I find out when I'm doing my fourth step that I refuse to heal. That's my part of it. So for 20 years, people, they call up farmers, and they get the car towed, they get a repair. It ain't exactly the same, but they're driving it and they trade it and their life goes on. But for 20 years, I was waiting for God to drag the alcoholic, put her on her knees and beg for forgiveness. And when that happened, maybe Fernando will forgive. That's arrogant. That's self-righteous. That's smug. And I can assure you, I am dominating. God, I didn't like myself when I was being honest, writing it on paper and looking at it and reading it to somebody else. I began to know that in order for me to heal, not only I have to forgive the alcoholic, I also need to forgive myself. Forgiveness is the answer to our problem here. Forgive. Let go. move on and live your life happily. Help people, you know. I find people in my life that now I can engage in. I have a purpose in my life, and my life become purposeful. I find meaning in my life, and my life becomes meaningful. And for the longest time, I think that, wow, what do we have to do in Al-Anon after you work the 12 step? What do you have to do when you, you know, like, what else? When, don't you end when you go to 12 step? I find out we only have one job to do when you complete the step. When you are a long-term member in Al-Anon, it's really only one job. And the one job is take care of God's kids. That's all. That's all. And it's not about something fancy. It's not, it's just, when people show up, they're brand new. Just look at them in the eyes and give them that understanding hug and give them understanding warm welcome. To make them feel for the first time somebody else that didn't know who they are actually is happy that they are here. Because it is the disease of the pain. It is. So I begin to go through the steps and all of that, and I come up with the ideas that, you know, powerless. I don't even know what that means, powerless over alcohol. But then I realized that one day, it's like, if I am a car, once again, from the car, that maybe I left the lights on waiting for the alcoholic to come home, you know, and battery went dead, my lights went out. And so, yeah, you know, the car won't start, the lights won't go on. And seems simple, right? You guys do it at La Cañada, right? You get a couple of codependent people, get behind you and push the car and get it started, right? And just say, Fernando needs a little help, right? And you push and you push and the car won't start, you know. And so that's when you come in with sponsors, you know. Sponsors say, we have a simple program, you know, like, how simple can it be? You know, you go to 10,000 meeting with 55 books, you know, like, you know. We have 72 pamphlets, you know, and they say simple program, you know. And he says, our program is as simple as a pair of jumper cables. If you allow me to connect your positive to my positive, if you allow me to connect your negative to my negative, guess what? Power is going to be magically transferred from one car that has the power to my car that is lack of power, that didn't have any power. Wow. So I got jump started, right? You know? So I start coming in these rooms, you know. And when you're new, when you come in these rooms, you're looking for relationships, you know. I don't know about the ladies, but the men stack, right, you know. You're looking for another person to love. And then very quickly, I figure these rooms are not bus stations. We don't get rides here. These rooms are nothing but gas stations. Because these rooms only sell one thing and one thing only. Something with a capital G, you can call it gas, you can call it God, whatever it is, you put it inside your car, and now you can go on to your own happy destiny. And if you happen to put another Al-Anon in your car, now you can go on the diamond lane. You go a little faster, a little smoother. But we all know that a car can go 50 to 100,000 miles without any kind of problem, but it is limited by a 12-gallon gas tank. So you have to keep coming back. That's why we tell you that. It's for the refill, that's what it is, you know? You guys didn't know that, right? Okay. So I begin to get on this journey, and then I'll you know, tell you something that happened about 6 months ago. Me and my wife, we went to Sacramento, and we were told that about an hour north of Sacramento is the world's largest gold mine. So we, like any other tourist, and say, let's go look at gold mine. And I knew I was ripped off the minute I saw the gold mine. It's nothing but a hole in the ground. That's what a gold mine is, you know. And they were talking and talking, and what they were describing was that this place, 100 years ago, some guy was walking along the stream, and he saw something shiny in the water. And he picked it up, and it was a 4-ounce gold nugget. So he yelled out, "Eureka!" And half the people from Oklahoma came to California. And there were gold in those mountains. All you have to do is get your pot and your pan and you shake and you like, you go home that day with nuggets, with gold. But within a year, all of this easy gold were gone. But the people know better that there is a mother load of gold inside that mountain. And when I heard that, I said, that sounds like an Al-Anon meeting. You come to a meeting like this one, man, that's easy gold nuggets. It's so good, right? When you first come to the men's stack, you whip out your pad and you whip out your pen and you start writing down the gold nuggets. And someday the other people sharing, you got some gold flakes, but you go home and you were rich. Come back next week, there were gold nuggets. There were gold. But can you imagine a year from now, you keep coming to this meeting and this is what's gonna happen. That meeting, oh God, the same people say the same thing. I gotta find me a new meeting. There ain't nothing in that meeting. That meeting is boring. But no, there is still the mother lode, the lots and lots of gold is still in this meeting. But in order to get to that goal, you must get a shovel and you must dig. And this is what we do in Al-Anon. We dig for the gold inside of ourselves. That's where the real mother load of gold. It ain't out here where you just pick it up, you get a speaker and you laugh and you go home and say, oh, that's a great meeting. The gold is within you. The gold is here to stay. Please keep coming back. Please keep coming back. And God, and I hope that you have this, and many people would have tell you that you can have the God of your own understanding, but I wish that you have the gift of desperation, because that's what's gonna make you a long timer, is that when you are out of plans, and that's why I understand Al-Anon is a spiritual program, because it's a spiritual solution for a spiritual problem. And what is my spiritual problem? For a long time, I don't understand. This is the same program that heroin addict used to get off heroin. I don't have a little Mickey Mouse problem. I have a severe problem because I'm using the same 12 step. So what the heck is my problem? My spiritual problem is this, because my first option is my own power. I never go to God first. I changed that today. That is my spiritual barrier to my God. So I need to be close to my God. I need to connect with my God for all the little things in life. I used to treat my God like it was Santa Claus. I pray, I get gifts, and I thank you, and then next year I'll see you again. This is my journey. I'm so happy to share with you. I can go on and on, but I notice that my time is up. I'm very respectful of your time. So I will close, and I always close with this. This is how I view the Al-Anon program, that I was a candle born lit in life, and somewhere along life, a wind blew and my light went out and I was cold and I was dark until I arrived in these rooms, and I noticed all of you were candles that were lit, and one of you came up to me and told me that if I can get close to him and for him to get close to me, that's how we candles light one another. I was fortunate. I was able to get close to him and he was able to get close to me. And once again, my flame was lit. But I was warned not to be stagnant, that I need to go out in the dark and search for other candles in the dark and let them know that if they can get close to me and for me to get close to them, that's how we candles light one another. And my dream tonight is this, that I light enough candles and they in turn light enough candles, that our flames together will be as bright as daylight. Thanks for having me. Yeah.